It's just gone 3 minutes past at the hour of 9 o'clock. Welcome to the Urban Parliament, right here on Urban Radio 94.5 FM. Today being Wednesday, 7th day of October 2020, we still want to raise the issues of Igbo presidency come 2023. The search for a presidential candidate of Igbo extraction is still on, and so far so good. It's been generating various issues and concerns as to what the Southeast wants, and is it the seat of the presidency come 2023? Is it restructuring as termed in some quarters, or is it secession as some others are clamoring for? Now, there are clamors that in the interest of peace and unity in the country, and of course for the sake of the country's continued existence as one indivisible country, a lot of people believe that all major political parties should cede their presidential tickets to politicians of Igbo descent. And to most of these people who are clamoring for this, they feel that to achieve that, Igbo should not only whip up leaders or believers or possibly advocates of the cause, but they have to pay attention also to the antagonism that comes with the journey to presidency come 2023. Now, most of these talks have gathered momentum in recent weeks, and from latest reports from the dailies, a former governor of Anambra State, talking about Dr. Chukwuemeka Ezefe, said that the people of the Southeast Zone will go on their knees to beg other zones if it becomes the condition to actually actualize their ambition to produce the next president in 2023. Now, the big question is, how can this be achieved? Which evaluations should we be looking at? Are the Igbos well positioned for this? Which evaluations do we need to look at? Is it the Igbo presidency? Is it the secession, or is it the restructuring? A lot of questions on the minds of people is, first off, how best can we measure the Southeast positioning for presidency of Igbo extraction come 2023? And are the Igbos actually well positioned? That's another question. Most people believe that aside being the only tribe that is not dependent on the government for survival, seeing that most of the indigenes are business owners, most of the indigenes are traders, and most of them apparently make up most of the percentage when it comes to tax remittance, that an Igbo man or a president of Igbo extraction can actually lead the country to economic recovery. But is that all we need? Are those just the criteria needed for a president of Igbo extraction? What attributes should we be looking at? And it will take a critical look at the possible candidates or the possible people that could fill in that position. Do they actually portray such attributes? These are the questions we're going to be answering this morning on the parliament. But first off, let's introduce our guest, Dr. Augustine Okolie, a policy management consultant. Good morning.
Adobe, good morning, and thank you for having me once again.
You're welcome. All right, a quick question. We are gradually heading to 2023, and matters taking the center stage are the agitations and, of course, the arguments surrounding rotational presidency, the major one, which is Igbo presidency. What do you make of this form of presidency agitation?
Well, thank you. Ordinarily, I do not subscribe to this rotation or zoning principles as far as Nigerian politics is concerned. But there is this thing about equity and balance. There is this thing about national cohesion and everybody feeling belong to the common project, Nigeria. Nigeria is a project that is work in progress, and that is why they continue to amend the constitution. They continue to agitate to change the way things are, status quo, to a new way or new ways that will enable the component units, the federating units, the composite nationalities that made up Nigeria. Now, if in that context you look at it, it is safe and convenient for some people to say the zone particularly presidential office, north and south, and the federal character principles and philosophy, provided ab initio in the constitution, that positions, appointments, and even resources, distribution, should and ought to be done in accordance with the federating units, that is, the 6 states, and so on. So if you look at the history, the constitutional making from day zero, 1914, the law that made 1914, the amalgamation, that nobody has found those who have signed it and who organized it, to the point of 1960 Constitution, 1963 Republican Constitution, 1979, 1999, up to the present day. There are still some loopholes and gaps. And all we are trying to do is to bring about national cohesion, national balance, national equity, and happiness. But if you look at Nigerian state as it currently stands, we have 6 geopolitical zones. We also have north and south. We have eastern region, western region, and the north. Now, we also had a time where we had the midwestern region. Now, if you look at the demography, how the presidential position has been allocated, elected, or appointed, or those who, came to power by coup d'etat, but they are still, they held the position, you see that the balance, the scale of the balance is tilting northwards. So the southern Nigeria, the southern part of Nigeria are saying they need the federation to be restructured. They need equitable distribution of positions, that the presidency, if and when, that is 2023, President Muhammad Buhari's tenure expires, now the power should come down to the south. And when we say south, of course, we have 3 souths here. We have south-south, we have southeast, and we have southwest. From 1999, President Olusegun Obasanjo became president by election. He took 2 terms of 8 years. He went back to the north. President Yar'Adua, Musa Yar'Adua, took position, although, unfortunately, he did not live to the end of his tenure. Then the south-southerner, Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, took the mantle. He spent the rest of the tenure and also went for another tenure. The second term that got stuck when he lost to Muhammad Buhari, then the power went back to the north. So we are saying that if power comes back to the south, as it's coming, surely coming back to the south, that the agitation that it should come to the southeast is there. Now, for me, that is okay and all right. That is equity. That is balance. So there is no doubt about where power or where the presidential position should go. But it has not been agreed. There are some tendencies that do not agree that power should go to the southeast. Although we remember there are some stories or what we call theories. Some people call it, the assumption that maybe after the Civil War, then there may be some kind of conspiracy theory that the Southeasterners, where the agitation for Biafra, right, took the route, that it may not be possible. There may be some kind of gang up or conspiracy that after 50 years, that that is the problem they have. So, and because of that lack of cohesion, lack of inclusiveness, lack of inclusion of the Igbo extraction, now, it is stringent here, stringent in terms of the call. The agitation is becoming louder. There are some MASOB group, there are some IPOB group, and even in the southwest, because of the skewed and abnormal situation of how the, because due to the military hangover, and due to most of the coup that happened in the past, and military people coming to power, we are from the north. So some even say that the current constitution we use, the 1999 constitution, was written by one man the special advisor on legal matters, Yadudu, for Abacha government and for the government that came to power, Abul Salam Abubakar, 1999. They said there was a decree 24 that was transformed into a constitution.
Yeah.
Now that constitution needed to be looked into and restructured so that it will reflect the diversity, the regionality, the nationalities, and the peculiarities and different pace of development that we find in various components of nationalities.
Now, from what you're saying, from what you have mentioned so far, you don't mind the presidency emanating from any part of the South?
It's not a case of my what I am saying. I am not the only one agitating.
No, there's been a lot of agitations. Okay, you subscribe to it emanating from the South.
And balance and fairness be respected. And if it is done, the only place we have gap that have not taken position, elected position, even appointive,
is in the South.
Save for the little interregnum of General Agu Irunsi, there has not been somebody from Igbo extraction who have taken the position of the commander of the armed forces of the Federal Republic, be it elected president, be it appointive president, whatever.
Now, do you think we're positioning the right way? How best do you think you can measure our Southeast positioning for presidency?
Well, that question is a very, very good question. The former former governor of Anambra State, Ezife, came out recently to say that even if it takes the Igbos to kneel down and beg so that they get their due, so they get what is theirs, that they will do that. What he was trying to say was that, I don't think what he meant was that we should go and crawl and do dobale and, you know, begin to clean shoes of people before we get what is due to us. That is, I mean, the Igbo extraction.
Yeah.
I think what he means is that the Igbos are not arrogant people. They are prepared and, you know, psychologically prepared to go the whole hog, to do whatever it takes for them to take that position. Now, that position, they like it, they are due for it, they are qualified for it. They have eminent men and women of Igbo. So I will, in due course, I will go to the people who will suggest, who will look at those who can, you know, if Nigerians now say, yes, you want it, but you're not agitating for it. You are not conversing for it. You are not knocking our doors. You are not lobbying for it. You are not trying to have a handshake across River Benue and across the River Niger. And even if to go and touch the boundary of Nigeria, to get to the farthest north or to go to the farthest south, to do whatever it will take. I think that is what that Honorable Excellency meant.
But don't you see that statement as a form of desperation? I mean, it's 2.5 years to 2023.
It has come to the point of desperation. We have to be, because look, let me tell you, in this kind of, if you live in a family that is polygamous, you will understand the position of the Igbos. Now, there are things they yearn for, which is only the executive powers of the president can actualize.
And you think by speaking about it now, it's going to give
yes,
room
I think
for it
they
to
have
get
started
actualized?
Now. Some people say they have started early. Some people say they have started late. But I think the time is apt. Because if you begin to discuss these issues now, you will speak to the political parties. Remember, this is a democracy. You do not just appoint somebody to go and become. You have to join a political party. The party have to elect him through the congresses, through the primaries, and he becomes the candidate. From aspirant, you graduate to becoming the candidate of a major political party of note. But, Adobe, let me remind us, let us recall that in 1999, because of what happened in June 12, 1993 election, there was so much agitations, there was so much hues and cries, upheaval, a kind of Nigeria was about to break. This Nadeko campaign for democracy, so many power pressures were put on the federal government. Then it was the military. They have to cave in. Then the military was ready to hand over government. But they wanted to correct some mistakes and some kind of misadventure, some kind of the things happened. Somebody won election, the freest and fairest, and that person came from Southwest. So what they did is that they said, okay, politicians, Nigerians, please, we are prepared to hand over, but it must come from so-and-so area. It must come from so-and-so state. That is the assumption, because there has not been any guideline issued. There has not been any statement issued that this is how what is supposed to be. But if you check out, they had three political parties that are functional, organic, and good to go then. You have the Alliance for Democracy, AD. You had this People's Democratic Party, PDP. Then you had the APP then, All African People's Party then. So what they did was that head or tail, you have to come from southwest. Not only coming from southwest, it finally came from Ogun State. Ogun State was the state of MKO Abiola, who won but was denied becoming president, who incidentally even died. The wife also died. So it was humongous. They were looking for a kind of recompense. So they decided that, look, head or tail, Obonyonu won the ticket of APP. Then there was an arrangement. People talked to them. They have to step down. The former governor, Obonyonu, who is now the Minister for Science and Technology, stepped down from APP. So that APP and AD have to coalesce, come into an alliance to produce a single party, a single candidate. That single candidate was the former secretary of the government of the Federation, SGF, Olufalaye. Olufalaye became the candidate of the giant ticket of AD and APP. Then Obasanjo was brought out from prison, from where he was serving time, to come and become the candidate of PDP. Even though then PDP was formed by our own son, our own dear son, Alex Ekweme, of the blessed memory. Alex Ekweme from G34 led a battle of wits and candor against the military government. They stood up and speak to power. The military should have to go. Then, when the 1998 came, when the transformation came, they now formed a political party. Then Ekweme still led that party. Ekweme went for the presidential ticket, but it was denied him because there was this kind of either arrangement or agreement or conspiracy that they have to go to the southwest. That is the type of zoning the southeasterners, that is, of Igbo extraction, want now. That since all these days, nobody from an Igbo, you know, not for want of quality or excellent or qualified a candidate, but a kind of, you know, they find a way to circumvent and avoid the Igbo. But the time is ripe. Okay. Whatever offense they may have committed, whatever is the, you know, stumbling block, it should be removed now. So they now zoned it such that the two contestants then in 1999 were Olusegun Obasanjo and Olufalaye. So that head or tail, whoever wins have to come from southwest. And Obasanjo, won that election. So I think that issue was solved. This time around, power went back to the north and came back to the south. It went to the south-south. Goodluck Ebele Jonathan from Otoke in south-south, in Bayelsa State. So this time, power is coming back to the south. That Muhammadu Buhari's tenure will now expire after full tenure of 8 years. Then it is given, it is taken, it is not no longer an assumption that a candidate of Igbo extraction should take the mantle, at least to balance that out. No. Remember I told you, okay, I am not of the school of thought that believe in zoning of positions, and because it doesn't bring the best. It breeds mediocrity, it kind of breeds, you know, father, all this godfatherism, and the people they throw up, people they like to invest to recoup it, returns on investment. Remember, we discussed that here before. Yeah. But this time around, for national interest, for national cohesion, for national security, for balance and for fairness, I think that it makes sense. It is logical. It is absolutely important that an Igbo man becomes president of Federal Republic of Nigeria in 2023.
And that
is
what
every eye is focused on, who will become. So we'll go to the next phase.
Yes.
Because now begin to suggest people,
yes,
who are qualified.
Yes, and speaking about throwing up the people who are, yes, qualified, can we actually boast of individuals who have that zeal, who have that mantle, who has that ambition to actually be in that position come 2023?
Yes, Adobe, you see, that is another phase of this discussion. I think it's also very, very interesting that Igbo people have not come here to campaign, but it's a statement of fact. Wherever you find them, you find excellence, you find doggedness, you find industry, you find capacity and merit and competence. So we have so many people, our basket is over full and overfilling, that you cannot even scratch the surface twice.
The likes of who and who?
Yes, if you go there now, for instance, you cannot be exhaustive. Whatever I say now does not represent an exhaustive, you know, conversation. But if you look at Southeast, we have five states. The five governors, the governors sitting in their positions as governors now, are eminently qualified, but it is only one person who will become. So all the five governors, no matter their performance in office now, are good to go. In fact, they are even better than the existing order now. So
five governors in the southeast, their performances are enough to guarantee presidency.
No, from the quality of personalities I find there, in terms of academic, in terms of their experience, in terms of their outlook and worldview.
No, if you want to judge it based on that, aside their academic qualifications.
So that we do not begin to discuss. Okay,
no, before you continue, aside their academic qualifications, their performance when it comes to them being in office, does it warrant them actually possessing that character?
They are still in office. It's not time for report cards. I think they are still working.
But at least we need reports on the past years.
This is not the time to begin to assess them. I'm saying that they are qualified. They can become president. They are also qualified like others that are qualified. That you can start from there. Then you can also look at senators in the southeast. You have people like Senator Inyinyi Abaribe. You have people like Senator Professor Ike Kuremadu. Ike Kuremadu, you know, has worked in the executive and is now in the legislature. And as a legislative, participant in Nigerian government from almost 20 years now, he has even had to the presiding officer position as the deputy senate president. So he has seen it all and has the capacity both in academic, in experience, and in fact, he's the candidate to beat. Now, we have people like Professor Soludo, Charles Soludo. You have people like so many people like Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala who have become a global personality now. People are looking for her to come and make input. So she can be recalled, if need be, for national interest. Then you can also see people, so many people, like Obonyono that I've mentioned before, who is the minister, you can also do the work. I say that you have so many people, in Enugu State you have Governor Sullivan, former Governor Sullivan Chime, who can also do the work. Chimodo Kenamani, them can do the work and do it so excellently well. So let them zone it to us. Let them beam the searchlight in Southeast, and we'll find a credible candidate who is good to go. So I'm saying that we don't have problem with selecting candidates. What we have is that let other Nigerians agree and maybe conspire also that it should be selected from an Igbo extraction.
And do you think whoever that's finally picked will actually be fully supported?
As a human being, you see that it is only God that is perfect. But I believe that if anybody goes there and knows the problem of the Igbos, and knows the problem of Nigerians, this issue of restructuring, this issue of trying to make sure that now we have had the choice. We don't want a presidential material who will be a president of the Igbos. We want somebody who will be a national president, a president of the Federation and commander-in-chief of all armed forces. Somebody whose work and deeds and outlook, both in speech and in body language, will always reflect Nigerian, aspirations and desires. Who will be Nigerian president to be, given as an example? Who will stand out as a mentor? And who will now grow up our economy? Who will grow up our industry? Who will balance things out? Who will do all those things we have been complaining of? Who will restructure Nigeria and make sure that they devolve power to the states? Because you can see that it is difficult for people from the northern extraction. They have said no to, without even going into it. Either they just use it as a political gambit, not to restructure. It is when we get it that you can do whatever you want to do that is in agreement with other zones, particularly the reformation of our constitution. But you could use the constitution to reflect the diversity, to reflect the structures, what we call the federating units, and to know whether local government should go or local government should be any number of local government that each state wants. They do that as far as they now contribute to the center. We now talk about fiscal federalism. We now begin to, walk the talk of federalism through federalism. We now talk about the resource control issues. We now talk about all this water bill that is causing problem is as a result of the exclusive list of the federal government. They check about and do something. They do something in favor of the people. Democracy is about the people. I always subscribe that. The people is paramount. The people is principal. The people are the owners of power. So they say power belongs to the people, not by mouth, but by their activity and by the power conferred on them, using their vote to select and empower them, and surrender their own sovereignty, surrender their own mandate to a single person who will now superintend and look for the welfare, the primary purpose of government, which is welfare and security of the people and good governance. So they are tripod, good governance, welfare of the people, then security of the people. So that person will take care of that, and they will devolve power to local government, to states, such that this exclusive list of 68 in numbers should now be sent back to the states, so that it will not even be concurrent. It will be the residual list squared by the state and their local government have to appropriate all those powers for the good wellness of Nigerian people.
Now
I think that will put Nigeria in the state to take off and get the trajectory where they're supposed to belong.
Okay, and you speak about the Igbo man being in a better position for economic and industrial development. Now, most people believe that aside being the only tribe that is not dependent on the government for basic survival, seeing that most of the indigenous and Igbo people are mostly business owners, most of them are entrepreneurs, most of them are traders who run diverse businesses. And when you take a great look, most remittance of taxes to the government at all levels comes from people of Igbo extraction. Now, an Igbo man can lead a country to economic recovery, so some people say. And some people believe that if Nigeria was make reasonable progress, the deliberate exclusion of Ndibo from national politics must end. Do you agree with that? Is that enough portfolio to actually lead the presidency come 2023?
Absolutely, you are correct by that narrative. I think even the Lagos states that claims to contribute so much through VAT in resources to the federal purse, if you go to Lagos state, you see that the people who are doing that are people of Igbo extraction. The Igbo people that are living in Lagos, they have taken charge of Lagos, the commerce, the industry, the trade. Go there and see wherever that is booming. Those who are paying the tax, those who are now growing Lagos are from this part of the world. If you also, like you mentioned, you go outside the country, what we call receipts or the contributions from people who are living in diaspora, more than 70% of them are coming from people, Igbos, because Igbos, they believe in Njepu. That is, they travel in expedition, in walking across the... You see, Igbos are parliamentarians in United Kingdom, United States, in Canada, in New Zealand, in Australia. You see them all over the place. Any country, any state, any city, any zone that cannot be inhabited by an Igbo man is inhabitable. Nobody can live there. But if you see any state, apart from the indigenous state people who are there, the next most populated people are who are visitors will be Igbo people. So that's why Igbo people don't mind living together with other people, because they are travelers. They are, you know, they move around and they look for, you know, to get a greener pastures. So that is correct. We expect Igbo people, the Igbo person who will become president, to come and express all those qualities in Nigerian project. I believe that Nigerian people are shooting themselves on the foot because they have been denying that resource persons who are there, who are from this part of the world, who are from this part of the country, who should even inject that blood of industry, of, you know, giving proper, and look at them there. Look at the former, the guys that contested for president, the former deputy governor of a central bank. That guy was very, very good and fantastic. Charles Soludo, like I mentioned, Gozo Konyewala. Then look for somebody who has the quality in terms of the academic prowess, the experience, the political sagacity.
Yeah.
Then you look at people like Ike Ekweremadu. These are people who, if they come, they will make change. Change that is not only in mouthing, not even in propaganda. They will drive change because they will now bring that ingenuity in them, that creativity, that innovativeness that is imbued in Igbo people. If an Igbo man at this particular time, in fact, it is this time that Nigeria needed an Igbo president. A president of Igbo extraction. And you see the turnaround. You see the trajectory. If an Igbo man becomes president now, I want to bet the last kobo in my bank that Nigeria will see wonderful changes. And I don't know why they're denying themselves those things. I don't know why. Because of ordinary, you know, enviousness or either fear. The fear factor that maybe if an Igbo man comes there, he begins to, you know, separate. Igbo people don't believe in this separation. This agitation for separation is as a result of frustration. Frustration of not including them in whatever they do. So they say, if you do not want us, let us go. But that is not the first, that's not the first yearning. The first yearning is to belong to Nigeria. The typical Igbo man wants, like a sky, there is no blockade, there's no go slow. They want to come there and fly. They want to run at their own pace. Don't restrict them by this federal character. Somebody scored 250 over 400 in jump. You take somebody who scored 120 because of federal character. If somebody is contesting for position, you say this person is excellent. You say, okay, because your people are too excellent, please you wait. You want to allocate it so that if Adobe get, Dr. Kohli will get, and our friend here will also get. Because of that, you now promote mediocrity. You bring somebody, and even when they come there, they lord it over us. They become everything that is, look at the whole position, in security, in economy, in commerce, in foreign affairs, whatever. You cannot find an Igbo man, you know, coming to express that thing they are known for, that industry. Yeah. So I think that this is time where whether it is conspiracy, whether it is agreement, whether it is whatever, let them do that and ensure. But I don't want an Igbo man who will come there and become a yo-yo and become playing to the gallery and begin to tell us that the Northerners are, you know, or whatever, or Southerners, or whatever. We're now teleguiding him. The person will have a single mind of purpose, seeing Nigeria as his constituency, not even to, you know, do favor to us. To just put things straight. Somebody who will now, you know, harmonize things and structure things, then Nigerian people will now fly according to their capacity, according to their, you know, God-given talent.
Okay.
That is where we now see competency. That is when Nigeria will now reach that potentials people have been predicting. Because now there are so many restrictions. There are so many bottlenecks. There are so many political, you know, brinkmanship.
Do you see secession as one of the distractions?
It's not a distraction. I think it's a genuine agitation. Secession is separatist movement, whereby you do not allow somebody. If you don't want me to belong, let me go.
Now, which of them do you think is has more clamor, the restructuring, the Igbo presidency, or secession? Because if you take a good look at this, it seems there's a level of confusion. Some believe that we need an Igbo president. Some others believe that the right path to go is that of restructuring. And some also believe that the next path to go is that of secession. If some sect are for Igbo presidency and the others are for secession, why do you think, or do you see a need why we should come together in that particular thing going on? Is there some sense of unity there?
Good question. I was expecting this question and I think I'm ready with the answer. The mainstream Igbo man wants one united Nigeria. They want one united Nigeria that is structured.
But it doesn't seem like that's what's happening.
I'm coming. They want a single Nigeria, a united Nigeria that is restructured such that things will open up. There will be competition. So that even when you do that, they said in the First Republic, when there was restructured, when the component, zonal units, we are contributing to the center only for foreign affairs, defense, and currency, that's the central bank and so on. Then Nigeria was moving forward. And can you imagine now that we have the ICT era? Can you imagine now that you have all this development and all the acquired technology? Now, we see that an Igbo man wants, first of all, a united Nigeria where they can express themselves. That is one. Then, that is where it is, structuring was carried out. Now, secondly, they now also want, if you do not want them to, flow, although we have never seen a bird that can fly so high, whose wings are clipped. So that is the frustration of an Igbo man. So they say, okay, if you don't want them, let them go and have their own enclave and develop and fly and you will see. And they're also restricted from going. So you can see the difference. Let us do restructuring. And the Southwest have also now joined. The South have also joined. The Middle Belt have also joined in the clamor for restructuring. Even the APC realized, the APC federal government that is now resisting restructuring, came and put it in their manifesto that if they come to government, they will restructure Nigeria. Such that we'll have devolution of powers, we'll have fiscal federalism, so that our currency will, appreciate that 1 naira will be equal to $1. But you can see that they came, they denied it. They said that it's a political statement. They left it, and now see where we are. See where we are in security. Adobe, see where we are in economy. See where we are in image of corporate Nigeria. You can see after 60 years, you can see where we are. We are the poverty capital of the world. We are the most insecure country in Africa.
And you think having an Igbo president would change the narrative?
What?
And you think having an Igbo president would change that narrative?
Yes, if we get an Igbo man who is well schooled, who was selected by the majority of the people, I think they will select a very good person. And that person will turn things around. And I think this is the time. I think God made it in such a way that after all things has failed, the Redeemer will now step up. The Redeemer, the person who will now salvage Nigeria will now step up, whoever it is. As far as the person is not imposed on the Igbo people. As far as they don't cunningly find a way to get a yo-yo, what I mean is that somebody will be pushing up and down. A yo-yo is not somebody who will continue to come and make excuses and begin to complain and, blame the past government. Somebody who will now come and see Nigeria as a devastated country, a war-torn country, and that they have to transform it within 4 years. I think we will see a lot of things will start happening. Nigeria will become a construction site. I am very, very sure that if an Igbo man, these people I've mentioned, and even much more people that I forgot to mention, I said it is inexhaustible. The people that are qualified and who can do it, let them just give it to an Igbo man. Let them not just impose somebody. Let them ask Igbo people, okay, come and contest. When they come out, we will see them. And we'll be able to, locate a particular person who will now deliver the goods. I think from among these people, they can do them. And if they come, Nigeria will feel good. Nigeria will progress. Nigeria will be competitive. Image will change. Security will change. A lot of things. You have El Dorado. I am very, very sure. I can bet that if Nigeria tries this time around and say, okay, let this president come from Igbo, then they will now heave a sigh of relief.
Now, why they embark on that journey? Which exactly should take center stage among these three that they are clamoring for? Restructuring, Igbo president, and secession. We should take center stage at a time like this.
Good question. Although we certainly know how to ask questions. So if the person come, well, the person have to go around and discuss with other nationalities. I don't want a situation where an Igbo man will come and want to do restructuring and others will begin to resist it. Remember, these things are done democratically. They are voting, both at the National Assembly, both at the state assemblies. So many things will happen. But I want a situation where he will begin, first of all, and embark on dialogue. Constructive dialogue, negotiations, debate, so that Nigeria will agree that restructuring is the only way out. I'm a student of restructuring. My PhD thesis is on structure. So that any group, any system that you are working on, if the structure is not good, no matter how efficient you are, no matter how effective you are, you can always draw nigh. You can always draw negative. But if you restructure, if you, you know, tinker with the structure, Adobe will make more progress. Everybody who have eyes to see, apart from those who are benefiting from the status quo, apart from those who are benefiting or this way that things are streamlined and centralized, like a military commander and the, you know, commander, you know, structure from top to bottom. It is the commander-in-chief or the IG of police that will command police in the street, whether to arrest a criminal or not to arrest a criminal, whether to prosecute a criminal or not. So it is so centralized that there's no way it will work. So it is going to now decentralize government. That is what we call restructuring. You can also restructure for the purpose of expenses, what we call governance cost of governance.
Yeah.
If you restructure now, you can now decide, okay, we have two bicameral system, House of Representatives and House of Senate. If it is too expensive, and everybody is crying, it's too expensive, let us drop one. We can drop House of Rep, we can drop Senate. We can merge them and have a unicameral system. You can restructure in a way of, let us do fiscal federalism and let us each everybody to mine and, you know, harvest whatever resources that is beneath the soil he's standing. Then from there, people begin to contribute to the center. Although you will see the electric, you will see fire if that happens.
So you're saying for now, they should first of all aim for restructuring before going on with the other
agenda? No, for instance, now, since the people in power now, because you can't restructure from outside, you have to restructure from center. Since the people that are in government now say they're not going to restructure, and since they're talking about 2023, if the person comes, I will expect him to go first of all to negotiate and let everybody come to a table and they agree that this is what's going to happen. Then they will now go for constitutional reform. From constitutional reform, you will restructure the polity. And when you restructure the polity, you will now see the gains of restructuring. And there's nothing that is cast on the iron. If you restructure and it doesn't work, you can revert back. It is just constitutional amendment. They can revert back to either centralized government or, but I bet you, if they do that restructuring, they will be saying, they will be regretting, why didn't we do this all these years? Why have you been waiting up to now? Where are we sleeping? So you see that it's just like Adobe, you are, you know, flying a, you know, you're flying an aeroplane, and you can see you're moving towards the mountain. You are on the mountain cliff, and somebody just telling you to turn your steering. You refuse. You are adamant, and when you turn the steering, you move away from danger. That is what we are going to do. But if they fail to restructure, and maybe if they fail to allow, I don't want to use the word allow, to, you know, give the due course of power to the southeast of Igbo extraction, then I think Nigeria will live to regret it.
Now, peradventure, the Igbos, Ndigbo, peradventure they don't get the seat of the presidency come 2023. What do you see happening?
Well, an average mainstream Igbo man will not even mind whether it is Igbo or not. I want to say this with all sense of responsibility. If, for instance, a northerner is doing the right things, like this restructuring, I think Igbo people might not even, worry about it. I think they will just mind their business and flourish in their own trade. But because when others now come, they will not do the right things. They will appoint only their own. They will do things in a manner that will cause confusion and bring about all sorts of disharmony. That is why we say, okay, go and try. Apart from that, it is your own due. Go there and show them the example. I think that an average Igbo man, if a single person from whatever zone is doing well, doing right things, doing what Nigerians want, Nigeria, I don't think the clamor will be so much. Even if we clamor, it will be so feeble. But it is stringent now, because we are not only suffering under very serious depression. We are suffering under serious economic issues. We are suffering under serious security challenges. And nothing is being done. And if we don't restructure, there's nothing you can do that will move us a step ahead. That is why restructuring becomes a very key role, but you have to negotiate it with others. And some people want just water. You give them champagne because it is sweet and expensive. They say, please give us water. So you have to negotiate and discuss and dialogue with the person. So I think that if an Igbo man comes, common sense, common logic, common reasoning will advise him to talk with people. Use small, maybe 2 or 3 months of entry to go around, have, conferences, have, issues and discuss with, other nationalities. And we come to convince them that, look, this is what I want to do. But if I do this, you'll see what that will happen. Just like if your doctor wants to give you a drug, you say, please, this drug will help you in your ailment. Just allow me to, administer this drug. And when I allow the doctor to administer that drug, you'll get the relief that you need. So that is what I think. I think that, look, if the person comes, let him not rush into restructuring because some people might try to resist it. Let him, first of all, try to do some dialogue with them.
Welcome back. Exactly 9:48. Of course, there's still the Urban Parliament right here in Open Radio 94.5 FM. I've still got policy management consultant Augustine Okolie in the studio. All right, the talk lines 08093-999-945 and 08099-945-945. But before we get the calls rolling, just a quick question. Do you think other people believe in the Igbo presidency more than we, the Igbos?
I wouldn't say that others believe more than us. I think that others are trying to align themselves with our worldview. I think when Mamandoura, the nephew of Mr. President, made a statement talking about competence, talking about capability and efficiency, I meant he was thinking of an Igbo man down there. Also, when Issa Funtua, an associate of Mr. President, was also suggesting that they go down south, he also meant a southeastern of Igbo extraction. So I don't think there can be more Catholic than Pope. I think they are trying to align themselves with our view, our vision, and our desire.
All right, 08099-945-945 and 93999-945. Hello? Hello, good morning.
Hello. My name is Gabriel from Gabi.
Good morning, Gabriel. Go ahead.
Yes. Talking about the Igbo presidency, we have seen that the situation Nigeria has found itself now does not in any way support that of the Igbo presidency. So from the body language of both the people that are ruling us, their actions and inactions, I'm showing that they are not ready to give presidency to any Igbo man. So I don't know what people are clamoring for Igbo presidency. We have even gone beyond that. There was a time there was need for that restructuring and whatever. The people are not ready for that. So we have even gone beyond that now. What Nigeria is into now is referendum. We are moving to referendum, and that is where we should be going. So they are not ready to give the Igbo presidency. Even if all of the Northerners die, they are not ready to give it to you. So better stop that and come back and resume normally. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts. 08099-945-945 and 93999-945. Morning.
Hello. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
My name is David. I'm calling from America.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is evidence to prove that the Northern Africa is ready to give Igbo presidency. You understand? Imagine what Ahmadu Bello said, if you can recall. You understand? Then there are people, 2023 is coming. Atiku is coming out for 2023 presidency. So do you think that they will give you the presence? And have it in mind that there have been a long time the Igbos are being marginalized in this country, and nobody is saying anything. We have been killed in our numbers. The Igbo people are doing business. They are doing everything to make sure that they survive. Okay, imagine after the Civil War, they give every Igbo £20 for them to do what? To start their business. They scatter all over the world trying to survive, looking where to find something to eat. Okay, now the country has turned to another different thing altogether, which we don't understand where the country is going. You understand? So all of them, they have done their own secret meeting against the Igbo man, become the president of this country. If you can understand. So the best option for an Igbo man to have their own freedom, referendum, is the best option.
All right. Hello, good morning. Hello? Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Adobe.
You're welcome, Emmanuel.
Good morning, Dr. My very good friend. My name is Emmanuel from Atalel.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Adobe? Okay. On the issue of the Igbo president, you know, it has been debated for long. And a lot of Igbo people, especially in politics, have come out to tell you that the panacea to the agitation, the panacea to the praise of Ndigbo is the Igbo presidency. And we have been asking them, how do you think that an Igbo presidency will bring the solution to the multiplicity of the problems that Ndigbo are facing this country from the time immemorial when Nigeria was created? I want to take you back, Dr. Okorie. Do you remember in 1966, when Chukwuma Kaduna and Zogu carried out a coup? And then at the end of the queue, you saw what happened, and Agi Irosi entered. And Agi Irosi was going there in a bid to make Nigeria work, to put Nigeria in good shape, just like all these Akali is running around now. And you can tell the story that Agi is still last 6 months, and you saw what happened to him. Now, our people who are campaigning for Igbo presidency, they are not even listening to the youth. We have been asking them within this region, put a referendum within the southeast and ask our people, what do you want? Is it the Igbo presidency? Is it restructuring? Or is it Biafra? Once they are able to do that, then we are able to know where we stand. But in as much as I'm concerned, the people who are shouting Igbo presidency are only the political elite and some of you who are claiming to be elite, not the honorary matters on the street. My name is Emmanuel from Achalia. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for your thoughts. Hello. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ebere. You're welcome.
Yes, yeah, welcome.
Go ahead.
You see, I thank your guest. I am so much delighted when I hear the voice of your guest. You know, he always explains some point. But is that in line with what he said, that's the right thing. You know, the Southwest have gone, the North has gone. It is the right of the East Nigeria. It's where fairness prevails. But they like to say that injustice, what injustice?
All right, Ebere, your line is not so clear, so do well to call back. Hello, good morning. Good morning, what's your name?
Yes, my name is Chris Anima, I call from Enugu.
You're welcome, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, Adobe, and also to your guests in the studio. I want your guests to please support my motion. I want to file a motion to your studio based on the questions you asked. You said, what exactly can he say that the Igbo extraction want? Is it Biafra? Is it restructuring? Or is it Igbo president 2023? Adobe, my motion is this. Can you conduct a 10-minute radio program, a phone-in program, where you say, people, if you support Biafra, if you support president, if you support this one, just call in and say, Biafra, restructuring, Igbo president. Do it 1 month, 3 months, the result will call itself. Because there's no need of calling one person to say, what do you support? He just say his mind. Let the people say their mind. Do it 1 month program, Adobe. You'll be amazed what you get. And let me tell you the truth. No northerner, no Hausa man wants to give an Igbo man the president. Nobody. Let's not deceive ourselves here.
No, Pani wants to do that. Now they are telling us that Atiku is coming back to run for presidential seat 2023. Who is deceiving who? Who is deceiving who? Adobe, let's wake up. My name is Cruz Anima, I come from Enugu.
All right, thank you so much, Cruz. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Good morning. You're welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, I'm from Wawa Kingdom.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I greet you. My brother, I greet you. I greet your van lady. When I try, I know this small. See, at that end, I support this I am we call us. We need referendum. So that all you want to get good here. It's not time to give us. We need to say tell what we need. Biafla, present or restructuring. Everybody will say his mind. That is the situation now. Because anger is everywhere. President alone cannot solve our problem. Okay, after 8 years, what will happen? Will we go there again? Let us come round table and say what we need. That is the situation now. Please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for your thoughts, Mr. Wawa. Keep the calls coming, 08093999945 and 08099945945. You can also reach out to us on social media. You can tweet at Urban Radio 945 and a bit to get to look at the tweets. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Adobe.
Good morning. What's your name and location?
I'm Adobe Boniface from Okoro Bazaar.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Please, the agitation of being a Igbo president, having an Igbo president, is the key for every dialogue in Nigeria. But I wish the Fulanis will allow such. The man in the studio, I said everything. He said historia. I even need such a person to become the candidate of Igbos. As the president, or advisor, because he knows everything about the government. But those young ones who are fighting for Biafra, they are seeing it in another way. So, with dialogue, Igbos will regain their lost glory. So, I myself, I'm supporting all his efforts and suggestions, even those he meant to become the Nigerian Igbo representative from Chimaroke to Sumida and others.
All right.
So I'm supporting him. Unless we will not be allowed. The solution is Igbo president.
All right. Thank you so much for your thoughts. We're going to go on a quick break. When we get back, we'll continue with the phone calls. You can also reach out to us on Facebook. We're live at www.facebook.com/UrbanRadioInugu. Welcome back. It's just been 5 minutes past the hour of 10. Still keep the calls coming. 08093999945 and 08099945945. Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Makifa. I'm calling from Enugu. Talking about...
Go ahead.
Igbo presidency and Biafra and the restructuring. I mean, it happens to me when someone will come on the radio and say that an average Igbo man wants presidency. When do you conduct any poll to determine who and who supports Igbo presidency, so they support Biafra and who supports restructuring? And when he asks you about so that he thinks that she will go for the presidency, he's not mentioning governors, senators. Are they the most learned Igbo people? What about the lives of Kingsley Mualo and Obiezu Kwesiri and the likes of former finance minister?
If the likes of Kingsley Mualo and these others that you're calling, if they decide to come out, would you fully support them?
Of course, I will support them. I will support them. But what I think is that the Igbo people should ask themselves a question. Are they better off in Nigeria or should they go on their way? That is the question that any person will be asking the average Igbo man. Let's go on the street and conduct a kind of referendum. What
All right.
do you support?
All right. Hello, good morning.
It's Odazi.
Good morning, Odazi. You're welcome. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Hello?
Go ahead. We're listening. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. Dr. Corey, thanks a lot. I think we're on the same page today. Yeah, that was a fantastic analysis. Yeah, very, very encouraging. Very encouraging indeed. We need to talk some more. Talk about it. We shouldn't be scared. We shouldn't be boxed into a tight corner because you think the Northerner would not support you, the Yoruba man would not support you. Then why should you support them? Why should you support them if they will not support you? Now, for example, I'm taking this matter to the desk of Ohaneze Ndigbo. Ohaneze, please, our big brother, what I would like you to do is to galvanize the Igbo nation. We've got the numbers. We've got the resources. Why should we be boxed to the corner? Why should our upper body, Ohaneze Ndigbo, become partisan in politics? Rather than do it the other way around, galvanize your subjects, your indigenes. The Igbo nation is big. We are not a minority group, for God's sake. Galvanize. Let's keep talking. We have the people. He talked about Dr. Soludo. He talked about Professor Okoremadu. We have Chief Mon Alud there, who is a completely tribalized Nigerian. So what are we scared of? Why should we be scared? You can continue your agitation if you desire to. It doesn't stop you, but tell you what, with the way Nigeria is, it's going to be a tall order for you to want to say, oh, I'm going here, or I'm going there. You're going to be landlocked anyway. Did we think about it? So one can go on and on and on and on. Ndigbo, support yourself. Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Adaze, for your thoughts. All right. Quickly, let's get back to the guests. I would love your reactions on most of the questions asked before we get back to the talk lines.
Well, Adobe, thank you so much. You see, what we are doing now is indeed sensitization. What we are doing now is also agitation in a different way. There's this question put, either you designed it or the members of the calling public also designed it, the question of whether we choose referendum. When you talk about referendum, you see, I used to think the way the youngsters who have called in think. I don't blame them. You see, even the First Republic was truncated by the youths. None of them is more than 29 years. The people who plotted the coup. Both those who the reprisal coup, those are young men. There are some misgivings. Somebody say Agu Irunsi stepped in. Agu Irunsi was even the one who quelled the coup. Agu Irunsi and our own dear Ikemba Newi, Lieutenant Colonel Odumegwu Ojukwu, who later became general, we are the people who stopped the coup. So it was an irony of fate that it is the Igbos who stopped the coup. And the people who, advanced the coup were an amalgam of various Nigerians from southwest, from southeast, from various places, even though they called it Igbo coup because of those who fell by their guns. They say it was mainly the Northerners, the Igbo people from the southeast escaped. So it was like a conspiracy, which nobody sent anybody to conduct coup. So that is for that. Now, the question of whether we prefer to, organize a referendum. First of all, you have to enter into constitution so that you have effect. When you have referendum, it will have to be backed by law. And two, it is not those who shout Biafra, Biafra that will vote. It will be secret ballot. And if you want to conduct the referendum, it is conducted by the same agency that conducts elections. I mean the INEC. You will not.
Okay.
Nobody will come from outside to conduct the referendum for you. It is, if everybody now agree, then we have numbers like Dr. Odaze said. We have the numbers, we have the resources. to fund the campaign or the actualization of a candidate. And also, like people who called in said, it is not going to be limited. If, for instance, we talk about presidential now that is coming, that we have the chance. You see, when you are doing something, you have to consider the pros and cons. We are agitating for people who are agitating for Biafra or referendum so that they go their way. They are not doing that for that sake. It is as a result of marginalization, domination, and the repression. If, for instance, those things are corrected, I don't think they will be, you know, agitating for just let us go. Because even when you go, you still face the same challenges of governance and leadership. There's no country, no matter if you go now, we begin to agitate for which part of Igbo will produce the president. We still have the same issues we're having in the corporate Nigeria. So don't forget, it's not a case of just we go Biafra and our problem will end. Go to South Sudan and see that since they left Sudan, they have oil there, but they have not had peace. So it's not a case of let us leave, let us leave. I'm not saying that leaving is not an option. I'm saying that we should try every other option and leaving Nigeria will be the last option. And secondly, you have to carry other people along. Remember, other people have to append their signature and vote that we will leave. Like creating autonomous community. If the existing Igbo does not sign for that creation of autonomous community, that autonomous community will not be created. You cannot just go on your own. You have to discuss with others. And secondly, you have to consider the options. Igbos are scattered, like all of us agreed, are scattered all over the globe, all over the country. Then do you think about them and their the consequences of leaving? Do you think that if they go, what about the Igbos who refuse to come back? Who are living in Kano, who are living in Maiduguri, who are living in Kaduna, who are living in all over part of the country, who are living in Lagos? Do you think that if they leave, all their acquisitions, all their wealth will be safe? And did you consider that, or you are just thinking about just coming out? So we have to put all these things on the table. That is why it takes experience. 10 years ago, I think like them. But today, Adobe, I've been tempered with age. I have crossed over to 50. So I am not agitating like that. You have to do some considerations. You have to consider your neighbor. You have to consider some other Igbos who have already made their home in other places. We are only, you know, supporting this agitation somehow because of the repression, because of the marginalization, because of the dominion that they are putting into place. But if you correct it, if, for instance, the presidency comes first, if you get a president of Igbo extraction and begin to address these issues, I think even the tempo and the temper of this agitation will come down. And talking about referendum, first of all, it is when you go there that you will organize it. You cannot say referendum, referendum, because those who are there now cannot allow it. They cannot permit it. So how do you do it? You can't do it on your own. They tried it in Barcelona, in Spain. They tried in so many places. Even they went on election. They even in UK, after referendum, the Scott people have not gone. So it is not as easy as just agitate and create tension. You look for solution. You try to talk about what is the solution. If you have problem, it is not to abandon the ship, but to try to, as a captain, yeah, steer the ship correctly. And when you fail, then you talk about abandoning the ship. So Igbos are created to be Nigerians so that they will help Nigerians actualize their potentials. And when they finally refuse, for instance, they begin to refuse presidency, they also refuse structuring, they now refuse, then you know that they have left us with no other option than to go. But if they now say, okay, let us, if you say we are not doing well, okay, go there and do it yourself. Then an Igbo man comes there and does the correct thing and restructures Nigeria and gives us a good leadership and good, we cannot continue to agitate. It's not for agitation's sake, it's for a reason. I understand what they are saying, that we are not enjoying Nigeria as it is. But if a correct person comes, he will put things right. Our worldview will change. Our potential will be actualized so that you no longer adjust. If your husband marry, if you are a lady and your husband marries three wives, then you are in a polygamous family. If your husband is treating you well, you will not like to leave because he's marrying another wife. But if he's not treating you well, even if he's marrying you alone, if he's not treating you well, you want to go. But if you have three or four wives and your husband is meeting all your expectations and all your desires, I want to advise you to stay, because what you want is good life and you want to, you know, move according to your trajectory. It's not, right, you're not fighting, and you want to stand alone. We are fighting because we want good government. So if they give us good government, for instance, if an Igbo man goes there and does the right thing, then why are we agitating again? So you have to try the president's first. That's why we now are not saying we don't want president, we want referendum. And referendum is not in the constitution now, it's not legal now.
So it is the person who will go there that will put it, will do the structure and put referendum as part of the constitutional, framework. So you have to look at these things and have patience. You have been there for the past 60 years. So let us now find a way to, find
Let's get some more calls. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Adobe.
Good morning. What's your name?
I am Monday from Enene.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I thank God for this man that is in your studio. He has said all. We need the Igbo presidency. All this agitation, this cause of frustration, people are not happy in Nigeria. And as an elder, I have cost 50. What the youth are saying, it is not easy to have their father. The man has said all. It is not in the constitution. Let us support so that we get the president of Nigeria. In short, I am among of people who are saying that the Igbo should be given time or power to go up in Nigeria and do something. So I'm supporting this man 100%. But all this sitting governor now is only the governor of Aboy State and the governor of Anambra, all other governors that are just running around. They are doing nothing. Like governor of Anambra State, God forbid that such a man will go for Nigeria president. Please don't mention all this governor. He's only governor of Aboy State and the governor of Anambra. They are the ones doing the work. All of them are qualified.
All right, keep the calls coming. 08099-945-945. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Adobe.
Good morning. What's your name and location?
Yeah, so I'm calling for you.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. I detest the Igbo president. That is a very good one. But how is he going to work? I keep on asking this question because there is no way you can just tell me that you go house and fold your hands. The northern and the other people will just carry the president and give and say, please, my brother, take this one, it's your turn. It's not done that way. To be talking about how we can divide this country and, in fact, let the Biafra to go. Because there's no way we can just sit down every year. We keep on lamenting on this radio, speaking the big grammar. It's not going to settle this issue. Igbo presidency is not our problem. Restructuring, there's no way we can get this issue of restructuring. Because the people you are looking up to them to restructure this country, they have already told you that they don't know anything concerning about the research on
it. All right.
So, there is no way we are... I don't support this issue of research on it or Igbo presidency. Please. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts. Hello. Good morning.
Adobe, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
I am Brent. I'm calling from Ebonyi State.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Anyway, this issue, we've been talking about this issue over the years or something, and unfortunately, those we are talking to, those you are saying, why you are saying the youth should stop agitating for Biafra, and then those you are also saying they should champion the issue of restructuring the welfare of Ndibo, they are doing nothing. We blame the youth. Let those who are supposed to act on behalf of the Igbos act. They are not. What exactly do we want? And I want to say this, it's like a prophecy. Dr. Kole, I respect you so much, but what I want to assure you is this. If after the Igbo presidency, after 8 years, and Nigeria is not restructured and nothing changes, even if he does well with the present structure of the country, the next person will come and mess it up. After the Igbo presidency, we are going to keep quiet forever. Someone like you and others who have been agitating for Igbo presidency, you will go into hiding. You will no longer talk. Why are we saying, and for saying those who are talking about, they are not up to 29 years, it's not true. And more than that,
right.
What we are saying, is it a crime? In other countries, it's not a crime. In Nigeria, it's a crime. Scotland will be free from Britain. There is good. We thank God for them. The Biafra will be free. We are landlocked. We are this. And analysis have been done, and it is not true that we will be landlocked. We are not. What type of a thing is this?
All right, thank you. All right, thank you so much. All right, a couple of messages on Facebook. From Shaizi Izuchuku, he says, please, your guest should answer the question. What will happen if the Igbos don't get the presidency? I want the question answered. And Ekene Deluchuku on Facebook says, the man in the studio has made a lot of sense. Well, the problem I have with men that are fronting restructuring an Igbo presidency is that they always shy away from the question. If we, the Igbos, don't get the presidency or restructuring, what do we do? Are we going to wait till infinity? The King also on Facebook says, if the Igbos get the presidency and after 8 years, the things don't change, what will be our fate? And Cyril OB on Facebook says, our solution is not president of Igbo extraction, as any person whosoever is elected is going to be a stooge to the northerners. Other tribes in Nigeria do not want us as the best option to leave Nigeria. The actions of others speak louder than the voices. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name and location?
I'm Chidi Bajira.
You're welcome. Please be a lot audible.
Okay, I got it. The first one that I want to say.
Can you turn on the volume on your radio set?
Okay. I'm from there. See, you're talking about Igbo president. Igbo president. What happened to that and good luck? That and did everything to please these people, but there's no way. Now, today, now, Igbo president, Igbo president. Emmanuel has said everything. So, thank you, and God bless you.
All right, thank you so much. Let's see if we can get into more calls before we get back to our guests to wrap
Hello.
Up. Good morning.
Good morning from Atale outside.
Go ahead quickly, Mano.
To counter at the Z, my sister, that Igbo land is not landlocked, first and foremost. Then I remember some northerners that I met when Jonathan was in power, and after Jonathan got out of power, they were saying they were suffering during that 5 years of Jonathan's administration. And they have not told me that thing they were suffering. And you remember the words of Junaid Mohammed. You remember the word of Ango Abdullahi, professor. You remember the word of Abdullahi Bodejo, the Miete Allah leader, that they will rule Nigeria forever. What do you have to say about that? And finally, somebody said that other regions have taken their position. They have been president. The North have taken their turn. The Southwest have taken their turn. The South have taken their turn. It's the turn of the Igbos. And I'm asking these people, when they keep telling us that we can be agitating for their support, let's take our own turn. If eventually they refuse to give it to you, what will you do? And after 8 years, just as others have said, and you return back to square one and chat about Biafra, do you think you have anywhere to run to? The money for my child out. Thank you.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, Adobe.
Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning, my sister. You see when we are talking about this?
What's your name and location?
My name is Abuchi. I'm calling from Imo State.
Go ahead.
You see, we are elders. I know what I'm saying. See, we will never work when we don't have the freedom or the fortune of Nigeria. Because if in case of we have an Igbo man now, you see the house, senator will be from Northerners. They fool the house, and by that time, the rule of law will be manifesting. That time, they will create a rule of law. So everything, any decision will go into voting. So it will never work when they have many members of state, they have local government majority. Then how can that man will be a lowly voice in the desert? It can never work. So when they can respect them with certain Nigeria first, we have equal number of states. Every member of local government, so that when that person is here, we have the vote of the house and the senate and senate and that of reps. So if he never would have snowed, because only him, anything he does, they will post hand on that guy. So let us go to the second of the or this window. That's the best thing. Let us leave this president now. Hello?
Go ahead quickly.
Let us leave this president of Igbo now. Let us pick, because for me that is going to be court of law. Let us pick Ogun Law. Let him go. So from there, when we take out the room, then we can take over. But as of now, it will never work. They are going to spend everything worse for us because they have the number in the house and the heart of rest. It will never work. So that's my contribution.
All right. Thank you so much. And that's all for the calls. Dr. Augustine, I would love your reactions on this last set of calls and the questions. A couple of people feel you haven't answered that question. if we don't get Igbo presidency, what would happen? What next?
Well, Adobe, thank you so much. And their questions are numerous here. That is one. The other leg of their question is, if, for instance, Igbo man finally becomes president and goes there and did not deliver after 8 years, and then what's, you know, next? Now, you see, you do not wish to barb your hair and you stay in your house and barb yourself. Have to go to the barber. We cannot be living next door to Alice. We desire to marry Alice. Alice is living next door. We did not knock her door. We did not tell her. Now, we have to agitate for this president. Then, we have to come there. We have to get to the bridge before we cross it. For instance, let me now talk about the idea of they give us president and Igbo man becomes president and goes there. And the environment did not allow him to deliver. And what do we do? Now, I want to say that, look, if they say they are not going to restructure, and they say they are not going to conduct referendum, and also, you see, they also say you must not leave. Remember, we fought a war. We fought a very serious war because we want to leave, and they say we should not leave. Are you recommending that we go back to the war so that, you know, in order to leave? We are leaving options open. It is not that we don't have the population. I'm happy somebody addressed the issue of landlock. It is not true. From Imo State, you can get to the sea, can get to the Atlantic Ocean. From Imo State, from Olu, from a lake, and so on. We have access to the sea. It is not true. It's just those propaganda they lace against the boss. We know that it is not true that we are in Southeast or the boss are landlocked. That is one. To even River Niger, we talk about, you can dredge it. If you go to Dubai, they had a very big canal that is bigger than River Niger, where they can access the sea. So if you have our way, we can find access to the sea. So we are not landlocked. That one addressed. Then number two, if they don't give us, they don't allow us to become, they don't allow anybody from Igbo extraction to become, we cannot begin to judge when we have not even tried. Let us try first. You see a beautiful lady, want to marry her, and you say, if I ask her now for marriage, she will not agree. Try first. Let us try and see whether they will not agree. The Netherlands already pointing towards south. I mentioned Issa Funtua. I mentioned Mamandaura. When they say they want competence, they want us. They know that we have competence. They don't know where the rains are beating us. They know they don't have it, but they won't want to admit that they don't have it. So when they say they want it, that means they are thinking south. And when they come to south, you know that Igbo man is there. So just let them just conclude and foreclose. Let us try first. Let us agitate first. Remember, power is not given. People will say, until they give us power. They don't give power. Power is like a buffet. Power is taken. You agitate for it. You clamor for it. You do what we are doing now, but we do it peacefully and constitutionally. You do not go to seize power by illegal means. You do not go to the street to fight. Even the separation, you have to do it constitutionally without firing a bullet if you so need. And others will allow you. You have neighbors. Will you be an island? If you separate from Biafra, won't you trade with people? Won't you have business with people? If they close their borders and close everywhere, will you be alone? So even if we go in peace. We go as a nation that will have peace, peaceful neighbors. Because we have peace with Chad. We have peace with Niger. We have peace with Benin Republic. That's why we trade with them. We open up, you know, trade routes to them. So we can't just take Biafra and they go away in anger.
Okay.
So let us do things constitutionally and peacefully. So let me also talk about, I think I've answered the issue of if they give us Igbo president and we did not deliver. Let us get it first. Let us not begin to assume that we will not deliver. And if you give it to us, let them not impose somebody on us. Let us generate from among them, vote the correct person. Then everybody will now come have to register. Because those who are clamoring for Biafra say, don't register, don't participate. So you have to participate. You have to register. You have to have a card-carrying member so they can use their card to change things. You can use the voter's card to change things. So you have to have the card. So if you don't want to vote, you can keep it. But you have to register. Now, I think those two questions of if we get it, we couldn't deliver, what next? And even the agitation cannot stop. You continue to agitate until you get what you want. Human nature is that you need to continue to agitate. You need to continue to ask. God say, ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. You cannot just fold your arms in resignation, in despondency, and hope that one day something will happen. We have to do what we are doing now. Do it peacefully. Do it constructively. Do it constitutionally. And I hope, and I so believe, I go to the bank,
with that, I'm sure that the North will allow us. If you allow them, how can they be talking about Jonathan going back? And meanwhile, Jonathan is not from Igbo. Jonathan has been president, but Jonathan is from Ijo. Even though his name is Ebele and Zikiwe, Jonathan is a native of Ijo in South Bayelsa State. So Igbo person have not taken. I think with all those things, you look at it and we continue. I do not say don't agitate, but agitate peacefully, agitate constitutionally. And let us try Igbo president, and it will be a panacea. It will be a gateway. He will now do the things we want others to do. He will do the right things. I think everybody is listening. Because if I become president, as somebody suggested, then why can't I do it? They cannot hold us. Then you do the restructuring. The president has so much powers that he can do so many things. So let us become president first, and let the person not deliver. And we will fry him in the frying pan. I'm sure that if an Igbo man becomes a president, he have a lot of challenge. He have to deliver.
He
must deliver, and he will deliver.
All right, we'll keep preaching the narrative until something is done. Thank you so much, policy management consultant, Dr. Augustine Okoli.
I love you. Thank you once again for
giving me the opportunity. Appreciate your time. All right. Thank you so much for the calls and, of course, the messages on social media. That's the size of the package this morning. The Parliament is back tomorrow, Thursday at 9 o'clock. Stay with us. The rest of the Urban Radio programming continues. My name is Adobe Ilozwe. Good morning.
Thanks for tuning in to Urban Radio 94.5 FM. Please note that opinions and submissions on all our platforms are strictly that of the guests and or callers. These submissions does not represent the Urban Radio establishment. We support a better nation through constructive dialogue and criticisms for a better society. Urban Radio, your home for music, talk, and sports.